I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Denisha Quinlan, who's the CEO of the Fremantle Chamber of Commerce. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Now, you've been in your present job for a relatively short period of time. How long?
I started in March this year, so just on 9 months.
Well, it seems to me not only like a great place to work in this very old building, but to work in this very old building in a place like Fremantle. How are you finding it?
Feeling very blessed, I must say. For the first time in my career, I'm based in a community I love and I know very well, having been a Fremantle resident for about the last decade and a half. It's nice to be keeping this side of the highway as opposed to spending my daily life down the other end of town.
Now, it is a community down here, which must be a really interesting aspect of a Chamber of Commerce, because this is not just any Chamber of Commerce, it's the Fremantle Chamber of Commerce, and I think it's probably one of the oldest in the state and the country. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Fremantle Chamber of Commerce is the oldest chamber in Western Australia and the second oldest in Australia, and it was literally formed by a bunch of traders and merchants in the 1800s who were, I believe, sitting around a pub one day and decided that they needed a much stronger and more concerted voice for business. And if this colony, as it was at the time, was to grow, that businesses had to work together and provide that concerted voice. So a long, long history. And obviously the chamber movement is an international movement, but we see ourselves very much as having a really strong local voice for business.
In some ways, I haven't checked my dates here, the initial period of operation of this chamber must have been about the same time, if not preceded the municipal government. Must have been close.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure on the dates myself, but yeah, certainly we've been around since 1873 was that first meeting, and we moved into this beautiful heritage building in 1912.
So people listening to this interview can have a look at the photographs of the building. I imagine there are some people who don't realise, A, that there is a Fremantle Chamber of Commerce, and secondly, that it's in this wonderfully historic building opened, as you say, in 1912. And we're in the boardroom, is that what we call it?
Absolutely, yes.
And here we look up at the big board on the wall, and it's got all of the people who were presidents, secretaries, directors and life members. And we start with W.D. Moore, M-O-O-R-E, in 1873, and then you go down the list and lots of well-known Fremantle names on the list. Do you have some sense, you've begun to give that, about what the purpose of the Chamber of Commerce was through history, but particularly how the Chamber sees itself today? What's its mission in life?
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things I've done since I've been here is really to look back at what was our original purpose. And our original purpose, as I said, was to be that concerted voice for shippers and traders and merchants. And I think for me and for the board and for, I guess, our members, it's really defining what we are as a business community. And we have such a diversity of industry here, from our maritime roots and our history. We're obviously still a port city, but we've also got a huge amount of tourism, heritage, retail and a number of creative industries that really are starting to define Fremantle. So part of our role is to connect the dots between those diverse industries, but also to provide a voice for redevelopment, provide a voice for investment, provide a voice for why doing business in Fremantle and continuing to do business in Fremantle is so important.
Now, just in terms of numbers, how many members, and you've got all sorts of categories of membership, haven't you?
We absolutely do. So our membership base has, from this time last year, increased 30%, which we're really proud of. We're growing and beginning to get, I think, more clarity around the different types of members that we have. So we have a number of small businesses that really come to join the Chamber for networking opportunities. They're seeking procurement, they're seeking work, they're seeking opportunity to grow their businesses. Our business enterprise members are some of the larger businesses in town. They've been around for a little bit longer. They tend to sit on our committees, our tourism committee, our development and infrastructure committee, really involved in that more advocacy role of continuing to grow business more broadly in Fremantle. And then we have our corporate partners, and they're almost like our sponsors. So Fremantle Ports, the City of Fremantle. We've just had Toyota Melville join us recently as a corporate partner. And also the Department of Communities and the Department of Transport are represented in there. So they're really the larger organisations that help give us a bit of leverage and a bit of weight.
Now, going from the membership and in a sense the things that the members hope the chamber will do, I mean, one of the things is plainly advocacy in the areas you've mentioned. How does the chamber go about settling upon a policy in any particular area? And let me try and make it more specific with no particular agenda, but obvious things in mind. There's been a long debate about whether or how the port, Victoria Quay, might be redeveloped and reconnected with the city. And I know the City of Fremantle have plans, whether or not they're immediately feasible or likely to happen, for that to occur. Does the Chamber have settled policies about such things?
Yeah, so I obviously sit and represent the Chamber on the Victoria Quay Steering Committee. I'm the ministerial committee that's sort of set about looking at what the catalysts for development are. I'm also involved in some of the consultation around Fishing Boat Harbour. And yeah, definitely it's not my role to sit there and just say whatever I think, even though sometimes I'd like to. Part of what we do at the Chamber is we run a number of think tanks across the year. So we gather together our members and other experts, whether it's on property or the redevelopment. And we just sort of have a brainstorming kind of workshop around what are the outcomes that we're looking for as a group and as a body, and that's formulated and circulated, and that all goes through our D&I, Development Infrastructure Committee, and then up to board level for endorsement, and they become the more formal positions of the Chamber.
There's a number of bodies around Fremantle, well-known ones that have involved Fremantle residents is the Fremantle Society, and they'll have a view about what should happen, particularly in the West End and no doubt at the port and other places. But the process of getting to a position, as you've described it, means if there's some very particular proposals about what might happen, then the Chamber might actually adopt a very specific position, I take it. They might say, we like that or we don't like that, or we like it if you did this, this and this.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got the framework of our Greater Fremantle Action Plan, which sets the priority areas of the things that we, I guess, focus on with the more scrutiny and more attention. But at the end of the day, the Chamber is here to advocate for the economic growth of Fremantle. So where there are particular positions that we see will benefit Fremantle from an economic perspective, then we're naturally going to be weighing in fairly hard around those sorts of decisions. But recognising too that economic growth for Fremantle happens because we have heritage, because we do have a soul, because we have this incredible history that comes with those decisions as well. And I think all of the businesses that are here that are doing business in Fremantle are doing it because of part of that history and heritage as well.
One big issue around the place at the moment is the future of the port as we know it. And there's not long ago, as you know, been a recommendation that there should be a new outer harbour, Kwinana Way, which would alter the current usage of the Port of Fremantle as we know it and have known it since about 1897. Does the Chamber have a particular position on that, or is it sort of open?
Obviously, Fremantle Ports are a major corporate partner of the Chamber, along with a number of our members, supply maritime services, and right down to also the role that Victoria Quay plays in our community. So I think it's an incredibly complex issue. I think we all acknowledge that the traffic and transport infrastructure in and out of Fremantle is limiting and will limit us into the future. I don't think any one of us that are doing business in Fremantle want to see the port go under any circumstance. But if that is going to eventuate, it will be because of the transport links in, and I think there's a huge amount of benefit for improving Fremantle's residential and I guess visitor transport in and out of here once we lose potentially some of those trucks and some of that container freight. But I think the most important thing for Fremantle is going to be maintaining connections to those industries. So if the port does move down to Kwinana, incredibly large defence plans down around Garden Island. You've got the marine complex, which is another one of our corporate partners. I think we have to be seen as the urban centre of support for those developments, be that visitors, be that supply of services, be that the marine industries, building services, contracting services. You know, we have to be that urban centre of contact for them.
The Fremantle Shipping News is hosting a discussion, which we've styled the Great Port Debate in March, where those key people and others we haven't mentioned will participate. It really is an important discussion to have, I think. Is there a timeline around all of that, do you think?
I think Nicole Lockwood and the Westport team are pushing ahead fairly quickly to make a decision. Obviously, they've narrowed it down to 5. Fremantle only features in 2 of those, so I think it's fairly clear where the decision may go. But I think we're all just going to have to keep a really close eye on those conversations, and there's positives and negatives in all of it, and I think that's been part of the complexity of taking this long to reach a decision too.
And community involvement and discussions, obviously, important. Just understanding what can happen and how the future can look if it, in respect of major parts of the port, goes to Kwinana. But you also mentioned the fishing boat harbour, and what's happening there and what might happen there that would be of interest?
So Fishing Boat Harbour, obviously, since the America's Cup, we very much see it as sort of an entertainment precinct. But, you know, it still is a working harbour, and part of what its appeal is the fact that it's fishing boats leave from there. It's a major part of boat maintenance and haulage, and there's a lot of movement through that harbour. Blue HQ, through the Bennett family, are looking at quite a large redevelopment of the Blue HQ boat lifting site, and that right next to Little Creatures there. That potential redevelopment will change the scape of Fishing Boat Harbour quite a lot. And also the Department of Transport, the Maritime Unit, are looking at a little bit more of an integrated plan that will hopefully feed round into Victoria Quay as well. So lots of opportunity again there, but still some really important messages around maintaining a strong economic base. Obviously, Muse Road as a road is very heavy in marine industry, and we would really like to see that maintained.
And in a sense, the trifecta in these larger development or infrastructure issues is the King Square development that the council sort of close to finishing. I'm not sure exactly how long it's got to go, another year or so. But how does the Chamber, how did it historically react to that, and how does it see that development?
Obviously, I wasn't around exactly in the time when we were reacting to it. I think for all of us here at the Chamber, it's a huge opportunity. The Department of Communities, we've been working very closely with them to make sure that the 1,700 people that are coming in March, April, and then I think there's another 900 moving into the building around May, June. Those individuals are coming from all over WA to work here, and I think we won't know our city when we have that many new daily workers coming in and out. And I think the opportunity for smaller businesses, the opportunity, just that critical mass of daily workers that take us from just being an entertainment precinct on the weekend will be quite extraordinary. So I think we're all just really eagerly awaiting their arrival. And we're working with the department on some induction packs. We've done a Fremantle from the inside, some local tours, just to try and find ways to showcase some of our really original businesses that are not necessarily on the surface.
When you say that, do you mean showcasing to the department or others?
So we've initiated with our own businesses. One of the things that we found with our tourism committee is we're also heavily working on our each individual businesses, that it's only sometimes when you open your eyes that you actually see other businesses that are either complementary to you or really start to redevelop that pride in what Fremantle is offering at the moment. And there are so many new, even just this weekend with Benny's Yard opening, the synagogue opening, a lot of new and exciting things that if we all start referring each other to those places, and it makes a big difference. So what we're hoping is that some of the workers that are maybe coming down from some of the outer suburbs that haven't been exposed to Fremantle for a long time, that we can show them some great new places to have lunch, to have coffee, to have a drink after work, to go to the gym, to buy their fruit and veg from the markets, those sorts of things around when you're here, let's make the most of it. Even going to have a swim at lunchtime, where else could you work in inner city and actually be able to go for a swim at lunchtime?
When you put it like that, it really is an amazing transformation that's likely to happen, 1,700 people. So that's a nice segue to the other aspects of what the Chamber does, and particularly small business. So if you walk down any of the streets of Fremantle, from Roundhouse to Town Hall, down High Street or any of the side streets, you find all sorts of businesses, and you occasionally find sort of empty shop fronts. Not too many, I don't think, but there's a lot happening. Does the Chamber represent, if you like, all or most of the small businesses we find around?
Our membership base, as I said, is quite diverse. Our Small Business and Retail Committee has a number of the sort of smaller retail and hospitality businesses that you described, right down to Indota Day Spa through to the National Hotel and those sorts of things. And I think our role in that space is growing because also Freo Now and the Bid have folded. So we really are now, again, that representative voice for both small business and retail. The Fremantle Tourism Association have also merged in with the Chamber this year. So really strong voice for all of those businesses. And a lot of work's being done to look at what Fremantle does offer as a retail and hospitality centre for both locals and visitors, and we are actively involved in those conversations.
Yes. Over the years, parts of Fremantle seem to have gone dead. They might have been alive well and truly once in a while, but there are some major areas of Fremantle which are sort of being redeveloped, aren't there, for retail and the like, thinking of the wool stores. What are the big areas for redevelopment, and does the Chamber, in a broader sense, see a need for other things to happen in the Fremantle area?
It's a big question.
It is a big question.
There's a few things. Obviously, around the wool stores and that pocket of Fremantle, it is in desperate need of an overhaul. I think, the fact that our international visitors coming off a cruise ship cross and they see Captain Munchies and that's about it. It does need some life in there, and I think we're really looking forward to the council's decision on the development approvals for the wool stores. And I think if the O'Briens can get that up and get that going, it's going to make a massive difference to that quarter. I think being able to eventually work with PTA to move the buses from right outside the train station there would make a massive difference for that inner city area. And then obviously, as we've talked about earlier, Victoria Quay. So there's still a number of areas that still need some work and effort, but I think the catalyst for change and the number of investors that are choosing Fremantle at the moment bodes well for that future. Yoke Properties, Little Lane development will redefine that sort of target kind of precinct, which has traditionally been not so flash. We've got a lot of work being done by Mindaroo and by Serona as well around the old courthouse and those sorts of things. So I think the O'Briens are involved in there as well. There's some really strong development backing, and they've been very patient in getting some of those things up.
I'm sure it'll be worth the wait. Part of the discussion always around Fremantle, and it's sort of highlighted again to some extent when you say 1,700 people might be coming here Monday to Friday and some of the weekend, I imagine, to work. How do they get here? Do they drive cars? Where do people park? Is that more broadly an issue for the Chamber or not?
It's certainly an issue that I think links. It's one of our major issues. Unless we can actually get people in and out of Fremantle, I think the train line to here from the city has always been a really strong link. But now that the Mandra line takes people from Coburn, it's actually easier to get into the city in many ways than it is to get to Fremantle. So some of those traditional Fremantle communities like Hilton, Coogee, that used to see Fremantle as their inner city, are now tending to even look to the city. And that's not a place that we want it to be, and like we talked about, we will miss out on the opportunities around Henderson, around Defence, unless we can get some decent Southern Corridor links in. The Southern Corridor was highlighted as part of the government's Metrolink plan that was floated initially, and all of that Southern Corridor kind of got wiped off the plan. I think there's a huge need. We wouldn't be all talking about parking quite so much if people could get here another way.
And what do you think are the most feasible ways then to bring people in, short of creating new car parking stations, which would only exacerbate the traffic on the roads coming in here?
I know the City of Fremantle's advocacy plan for 2020 includes light rail from Murdoch or some form of transport, fast transport route in from Murdoch down South Street. I think that's really important. It links us to that health precinct that's so crucial. It also links us to international experts and workers that are used to living in urban centres, and we should be able to provide an opportunity for those individuals coming to work around that health precinct to live in Fremantle. And then the Southern Corridor, I think, if we can get some light rail down through Coogee and round and into Coburn, I think that's absolutely essential.
Now, are there any other, if you like, large ideas that the Chamber has that it would like to promote insofar as the future of Fremantle is concerned? Do they have a vision about what Fremantle perhaps ought to look like in their estimation in 10 or 20 years' time?
I think the Greater Fremantle Action Plan that was signed off by the Board in 2018 certainly sets out, a number of short key wins to getting us to a vision. The only other area that we haven't really talked about, I think, is the creative industries. You know, we've got 209 architects and designers within Fremantle. That's a huge opportunity for us to really look at how we promote that and create greater links between the other industries off the back of that creative sector. So I think we've touched on it all. I think, you know, our maritime and port routes, the creative industries, the property and development, and then the transport links in and out. I think if we can realise all of those things, we'll be in an amazing place in the future. And, you know, what Fremantle offers, half of our external suburbs are trying to replicate. You can't replicate it. It's here in our roots, and we've just got to make the most of that.
Well, we can probably round this conversation off by just remarking on the fact that this building was set up for the Fremantle Chamber of Commerce, but there was a point at which it was extended, I think, in the 50s, wasn't it? And can you explain what happened then, and are they all still here?
So, yeah, you're right, absolutely, Michael. In the 1950s, there was a need for a whole lot of shipping agents to find a place to do business. It had to be close to the port and there had to be small offices. So I like to say often we were an incubator before incubators started. We have 12 to 14 different suites and a whole lot of businesses. A lot of the shipping agents have now moved out, now that they don't have to be quite so close to the port. We still stamp export documents. We're a delegated authority of the Australian or the international chambers that enable our exporters to obtain tariff benefits and certificates of origin. So we provide that service to businesses. We have a number of growing businesses now in the building. They're not all shipping agents anymore, but there's a wide variety of really interesting businesses still within our halls. So that also helps us keep an eye on where Fremantle's going from the grassroots up as well.
Having just walked around the halls out the back here in the 1950s development, those businesses seem to reflect the changing nature of the Fremantle economy, you might say.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about it, we've got an architect, we've got a couple of designers, we've got a couple of business sort of consultants, but we've also got some really active new businesses coming in as well, which is really interesting, like the Perth Walking Trails. We've got Clancy's Fish Pub Administration in here. We've got Pirate Radio. So, yeah, some really interesting businesses.
Very funky place. Have you got a coffee shop?
I think Freo's got enough for us to keep us well and truly caffeinated, Michael.
It's true. You mentioned, and I neglected to ask you earlier about that certification system. What's that all about? Where did that come from? And is that a big part of what the Chamber does?
It is a big part of our business that many people aren't really aware of. Ourselves and CCIWA are delegated authorities from the Australian Chamber Network, which then feeds into the International Chamber Network. And that system allows customs officers in other countries to have confidence that the documents that are coming in from Australia are actually certificates of origin from Australia. So we stamp and provide authority that the signature on that is from the company. We have a look at some of the background of that company. But our role really is to provide a check before those documents go into international ports to ensure that they have a smooth transition in them. And they include, the documents we stamp include obviously the Certificate of Australian Origin that I just mentioned, but we also have the Chinese-Australia Free Trade Agreement, the Japanese-Australia Economic Partnership Agreement, Thailand, Australia, New Zealand. So a number of those free trade agreements are really part of the bread and butter of the Chamber. It also gives us a lovely platform to understand our exporters as well, and we do a lot of work to get to know and understand what the export industry is doing here in Fremantle.
I can imagine. As we draw to a close, there'll be people who are in business or want to be in business or who will want to know more about what the Chamber can do and how it can assist them in business. If they're interested in learning more or becoming a member under one level of membership or the other, what do they need to do?
Look, there's a lot of information on the Fremantle Chamber website, so fremantlechamber.com.au. Otherwise, you're more than welcome. Our export desk is manned by Marion and Luke. You can always give them a call at any time to talk about export. We also offer in-house secretarial services, some accounting services. So if businesses are looking to, or even associations require assistance around secretarial services or accounting, we can provide some of those from a bookkeeping perspective as well. So yeah, just give us a call and we can hopefully help out.
And finally, the job of the CEO, how would you describe it? How do you see it developing from your experience to date?
I loved the lovely Penny from Eros Boutique on Market Street described, we were talking about selling at our latest Set the Month in Motion podcast forums, which you can obviously download on any podcast station. But Penny described life in sort of, I guess, her business and growing business as being an octopus. And I think, you know, that really does probably describe it. You know, we're a very small organisation. So, you know, one day I may be helping set up for an event and the other day I'm, you know, liaising with ministers. So it does cover all of that. And I feel like I have to have my hands in many, many pies, but keeps you on your toes, Michael. And I really do enjoy it.
And, of course, it includes talking to people from the Fremantle Shipping News, for which we thank you very much. It's been lovely talking to you, Denisha, and good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you so, so much, Michael. It's been great.